Welcome back in the hall, episode 89. Hope you enjoyed last week's episode with Ross. Super funny. I was debating on breaking it into three parts. It's an hour and a half. But I was like, you know what? I'm just going to put the full thing out. So if you haven't got a chance to listen to the full episode, at least go to the, I believe it was the 45-minute mark. Super funny. One of the funniest stories I've heard in a long time. So shout out to Ross. Great episode. And yeah. We're here. As you might know from my Instagram story, if you saw it, there was an armed robbery in my apartment complex. Now, I'm not even in the hood or anything. This is just Florida. It's funny. It's like, no matter how much money you have, not saying I have a lot of money at all, you get an apartment on the water, and you think that you're going to avoid the bullshit. But no, you just can't do that in Florida. You never know who your neighbors are. Like, you live in Palm Beach, you work hard your whole life, you start a business, and you get a nice beach house on the water. Who's your neighbor? Jeffrey Epstein. What the fuck? You know? You're at the mailbox, hey, Jeffrey, how you doing? Yeah, little do you know, what's his day-to-day look like? Yeah, that's why some of those super rich neighborhoods feel weird, because you're like, all right, not everybody, not all these homeowners are on the up and up. You know, you sell little artsy bracelets online and your neighbor sells children. So yeah, I'm coming home the back way and there's a cop blocking the street and he's like, oh, there was an incident. You have to go around. So I was like, all right, no problem. I go all the way back around to the front gate. More cops blocking the intersection, the front gate. There's a line of cars. They're not letting anyone through. So I pull up. The cop out front walks up to my car and he's like, there was a bit of an issue, he said. I go, well, it's more than a bit of an issue when every cop in Orlando is at the apartment complex. And he's like, oh, there's an armed robbery. The suspect is still in there. I go, okay, cool. So there's just a guy in there and no one, you know, is anyone looking for him? I'm pissed because it's like 10:30 at night and I had to pee like a racehorse. You know, when you're just in your mind, you're like, oh, I'm just going to run upstairs, throw all my stuff down, use the bathroom and just like chill out on the couch. This was not the case. There was an active manhunt in the apartment complex. And I'm just like, well, can someone, I'm like, just hand me your gun, you know? When you have to pee, dude, I've never been addicted to meth, but I feel like that's kind of the same thing, where you're just like, I need to pee now. It's just like your brain gets taken over. You can't even think rationally. I was like, give me your gun, officer. I'm fucking going in. It's like 30 minutes later, he just like opens the gate and he goes, all right, everybody, go up to your apartment and lock the door. And I was like, yeah, that's what I was going to do anyway. Did you find the guy? There was no updates. So in building 6, right across from mine, there was all of the vehicles from like Law and Order SVU, all the vehicles from the movies that you don't see. All the vans, the forensic vans, there was body bags. And I was like, holy shit, the rent's probably going to go down. How many bodies until the rent drops? That's what I want to know. How many zip, zip? How many times do they got to zip someone up before they can knock 200 off the rent? So, dude, I don't know what was happening in there. They had like a couple people out front. Everyone was outside on their balconies filming, like, what's happening? Cause it was crazy, dude. Once you have cops in like suits, you know, the cop that pulls up on the scene and he holds his badge up and he's like, all right, pussies, this is now my investigation. They had those guys there, like real detective shit, taking notes. I'm just like, well, at least it was for something. It's like when you're stuck in traffic. And you're like, what is the holdup? And then you get up there and it's like 9 cars flipped over. One of them is on fire. And you're like, all right, that makes sense. It pisses me off so much when it's just like a fender bender and everybody has to just slow down and be like, whoa, look at that Corolla bumper. It's not supposed to look like that. And you're just, I honk through the whole, like once I see it that it's just rubbernecking and not a real accident, I'll just beep. Like, let's go, dude. There's hours of car crash footage on YouTube. Just go home and watch that. Just drive. So yeah, then there's no word on this. The next day I'm like, murder in this apartment complex. Nothing's coming up. I'm like, what happened? There's no report on it. There was no, like, note from the apartment complex. Like, hey, just in case you were wondering what those body bags were for. None of that, dude. They sent a trash memo. That's it. They said, hey, residents. Hope all is well. Don't forget on Sunday to leave your bags out front. I go, hey, speaking of leaving bags out front, can you address the murder in Building 6? What happened? What happened in Building 6? But no, they sent out a trash bag memo before the body bag memo. So I don't know what happened. I jumped on the community forum and people were commenting like, hey, what the fuck? Yeah. And then the management was just like, oh, there was an armed robbery in Building 6. It was a targeted attack. It wasn't random. And I'm like, oh, okay, good. So the guy had it coming? Is that what you're saying? No one else worry. It was just that one guy in Building 6 that was dealing coke. But everybody else is fine. As long as you're not dealing coke in this neighborhood, you don't have to worry about getting shot in the back of the head. That's basically what they said. So I don't know, dude. I just hope that I was seeing that they're people were like, we're moving out because they raised our rent $500. And I'm like, oh, shit, my lease is up in October. And I know that's like kind of a long way away, but it's not at the same time. So I don't know. Shit, dude, if they raise the rent $500, I'm probably going to have to try to play that body bag card. But if that doesn't work, I don't know. The craziest thing has been happening. Every female comedian that's quit the game over the last 2 years, because a lot of people just drop off. You know, you can only take so much of this industry before you just, you know, and a lot of people that don't have it, you know, they're like, oh, I should have quit 4 years ago. But every female comedian that I know that has quit is now a life coach. And it is the saddest, most funniest thing you will ever see. Because for the last 7 years, they were in basements talking about sucking cock. And now they're telling people how to build credit. Oh my God, is it funny? You talked about your vagina in a basement in New York City for 7 years. And now you're telling people how to deal with their emotions. Okay. I want to sign up for this class and just be like, hey, I only paid money to tell you that you're insane. They're charging people. It's amazing how with the internet, you can just reinvent yourself. You can delete all your blowjob jokes and put up your new, you can put up motivational quotes and then everybody just forgets. The same woman that was like, you know, when you're fingering your vagina and now they come up on my Instagram and they're like, whenever you're feeling depressed, it's really good to go for a walk. I'm like, hey, this isn't you. Doesn't even surprise me. I got an Instagram message from the woman that sold me my car 3 years ago. And she was saying, like, I don't know, it was crazy. She was like, ever since you walked into the dealership, I just knew I wanted to fuck you. And then I just replied, you did. Oh, you fucked me. A 48-month low-mileage lease. Oh, yeah, my ass still hurts. You got me. I am way over on my mileage. It's supposed to be 48 months, 48,000 miles. And I'm at 70,000 miles right now. So I owe like $4,000 in like mileage fees. You know, it's like 15 cents. Now if I drive my car, not only is it, I got to factor in gas, but I got to go every mile that I drive is 15 cents. So, and it's mainly because I drove Uber in LA with a leased vehicle. Because I'm like, oh, it's got a warranty. You know, I weighed the pros and the cons. And also, everything I've done over the last 7 years was, oh, I'll just sign here. Oh, we'll just, you know, every decision I've made was based off the fact that the career's going to launch anytime. You know, like, oh, a 48-month lease? Yeah, dude, I'll have that shit paid off. I'm going to LA. I'll have that shit paid off tomorrow. You know? Oh, my God. So funny. Who cares about your credit when you're going to be a millionaire? They tell you to do that to manifest. But what they don't tell you is that when the manifestation takes a little bit longer than expected, your credit goes down. But on a serious note, thanks for everyone who's been sharing the show. It is crazy to... It's at the point where I'll post the episode, and then in 5 minutes it'll have 10 downloads, which has never happened. Usually it would get 10 downloads over like the course of 2 days. So I'm like, man, it's like... It's listened to as soon as it's posted, which is pretty wild. For the longest time, I would post an episode, and then you're just kind of sitting there, like that kid who invited his class to his birthday party, but no one showed up. You got the pin the tail on the donkey set up. You got the balloons inflated. And you're just sitting there with the party hat going like, all right, the episode is up. They should be here any minute. No one ever showed up. But yeah, it's cool, man. They said, Ross was telling me that episode 50 is like the deciding factor because that's like a year. You know, if you can keep it consistent for a year, you're good. And then I also heard episode 100. You know, we're at 89 now. So it's like once you hit triple digits, then people like cycle. It's like something like psychological. Like, oh, this guy has done 100 episodes. It must be decent. And that's just the way it is. It's, you know, most podcasts that I've listened to, I discovered at like episode 280 or like 300. So what is that, like 5 years, you know? So I know it's going to take some time, but it is cool to see how it's been growing. So I appreciate y'all. Hit the thumbs up, subscribe. I don't know if you saw the crazy footage coming out of China, but they're back on another COVID lockdown, and it is just pure chaos over there. And they don't work from home over there. Their lockdown, they work from work. Like, they have beds in the offices. Like, you don't see your family, nothing. Let me pull up the... More than 20,000 bankers and traders are sleeping in their offices in China amid the strict COVID-19 lockdown. They just have a picture of a bunch of people with sleeping bags and looks like fast food cups everywhere. What an absolute nightmare. Traders are asked to live in the office. Well, probably not asked. China doesn't really ask, you know. They ask with a gun to your head, hey, do you want to do this? Click, clack. And you go, oh, yeah, I guess so. I guess I do want to do that on my own will. That is insane. They're like, hey, everyone, just want to let you know we're going. I got word that we're going back down on lockdown. And you're like, okay, cool, I guess we'll see you guys soon. We'll see you on Zoom, because we're going to work from home. And they're like, oh, no, no, no. You work from a work. There's no work from home in China. Dude, this shit is insane. they literally just make you like a robot in China. Like, there's no... Dude, one of the drones that was flying over the city in China, it said, control your soul's desire for freedom. Like, how fucking scary is that? Dude, I would definitely suicide by cop in China. Like, if I live there, like, I... Like, the United States is almost not as free as you want it to be. Like, I think Mexico is probably the most free. You know, because it's very, like... It's very, like, defend yourself kind of thing. Like, if you bought a house down in Mexico, I think that might be the move. Because you can kind of just do whatever you want. But anyway, yeah, I would definitely rush a cop with a butter knife and just take two shots to the chest. Be like, all right, just get me out of this realm into the next one. That's why it's wild to see like a Chinese person come here and just be like, what in the fuck is this? What is this place? That's what Ross and I, we talked about that on the episode. We were talking about all the Brazilians that come to Orlando and they just must think that America is just putt-putt courses and roller coasters. Because that's all you see for like it's just that like that bubble. That whole area is just like, it's just fake waterfalls and Mickey Mouse. Then you go 10 minutes outside of that and it's like, yeah, Trump won, boy. Gets wild pretty quick. So, yeah, man, just like grateful to be here, man. Grateful to be in Florida when you see these other countries acting up. So nuts. And is there any days off? Like if you're sleeping at your office on lockdown and what do you just not get on the computer? They're going to make you work. You can't be like, oh, it's my day off. I'm just going to sit here. They're going to be like, well, you're already at the office, so you might as well get to work. That's when I go out the window. Bye. There's a new bill in California that would let parents sue apps such as TikTok and Instagram for social media addiction. The legislation called the Social Media Platform Duty to Children Act, well, that's a long name, would hold social media companies accountable even if they did not deliberately make their platforms addictive. Yeah, so they're arguing that the algorithm of being able to just continually scroll up for a never-ending stream of content and causing people to be addicted. Here's the thing, though, about this social media addiction. How do you go about that? You know, the lawyers from TikTok show up in court and you're like, my child is addicted to TikTok. And then what are their lawyers going to say? Well, you're just a bad parent. Like, I'm very curious to see. Dude, plus it's California. The parents don't care. The parents in California are more addicted to TikTok than the kids. Their economy is going to crumble. Social media addiction is what buys all that real estate. Who do you think lives in the houses in the hills? Accountants? No. 12-year-old billionaires that dance on TikTok. That's who's buying that real estate. Everyone's just flexing and finessing. What blows my mind is a lot of people that are in LA that aren't even in the entertainment industry or the cannabis industry, and they just wanna, it's like this social credit thing where they'd rather be broke and have some kind of like little status than to have a check and not be around that like celebrity culture. It's so weird. Like I have friends that live in these celebrity buildings and it's like $4,000 a month for a one bedroom where everyone's just laying by the pool for 8 hours a day. And you're like, what do these people don't work? And then you find out that they like, all they do is just, they're just hot. You know, that's their job, is just to be hot. And then they just hold up a product. You know, they're like, hey, I'm hot. Look at this protein powder. Hey, I'm hot. Look at this skin cream. This is what I use. Not. But it pays my rent, so fucking enter in my 15% off coupon code. And, you know, that's honestly the life. People shit on these quote-unquote influencers. But it's like, if all you have to do is just, oh, shit, I got to go hold up a product real quick. And then back to the pool. You know, you're the sucker for commuting to work at that point. But I get it. Life's definitely not fair. Yeah, but there's people out there that aren't even in, like, this, the entertainment industry. They're just like a, product analysis, you know, something that has nothing to do with the LA culture. And they live in these buildings where they can just post on social media and go like, oh, I live in the same building as Joey Fatone. And you're like, who is that? And they're like, you don't remember NSYNC? He was one of the members of NSYNC. Don't you remember? And you're like, ah, oh, yeah. Cool, man. You pay $4,000 a month to say that Joey Fatone lives there? It's always a member of a band you've never heard of. Dude, the drummer from Burning Palm Tree lives here. Who? You know the band Filthy Keyboard? I don't. Well, the bass player lives here. What are we doing? Do you feel validated now? Is that why you moved from Wisconsin so you can live in the same building as a member of NSYNC? I mean, do what you got to do, you know? I got the last article here. Saudi Arabia's $500 billion megacity, NEOM. Saudi Arabia is building a futuristic megacity from scratch named NEOM. The city plans to ask future residents to submit a huge amount of personal data to help it run. Experts said technophiles would flock to NEOM, but warn about potential mass surveillance. So yeah, this is probably going to be one of those smart cities where they just track your every movement. Yeah, here you go. You're not allowed to have a car. You get a, oh, that's creepy. Each resident would have a unique ID number, and NEOs would process data from heart rate monitors, phones, facial recognition cameras, bank details, and thousands of Internet of Thing devices around this. Yeah, dude, this is all that. This is basically like Scientology. Let us know everything about you, and then you can live in quote-unquote paradise. We like rewards, Andrew Hudson Smith said, a professor of digital urban systems at University College London told Insider. People will buy into this as long as they're given an incentive for it. That may be better healthcare, which is what NEOM has said. Ali Shahabi, a Saudi analyst, a member of NEOM's advisory board, suggested that much of the data NEOM plans to harness is likely already being taken by tech companies today. Well, that's comforting. Yeah, bro, this is weird. The main challenge is to create a society in the middle of nowhere rather than to make people comfortable with the idea of sharing personal data and being surrounded by drones, robots, and AI. Yeah, this is like once you're in, you're in. You're just stuck. You're not allowed to have a car. This is like the future of like, oh, don't, why would you leave? This is a paradise. This is a smart city. And then your microwave's like, you're supposed to be at work. You're like, what the fuck said that? Your toaster oven is telling you that you're going to be late. You know, you think you're making bagels and your toaster oven's listening to like complaints you have, and then they're going to send the police to your door. Hey, we heard on your toaster microphone that you weren't happy here. What's wrong? How can we fix that? They beat you in the kneecap with a baseball bat. Someone commented on here, this woman, she put, hey, how about before you spend $500 billion on a city, you actually give women rights? Which is a good point. You know, women over there are second-class citizens. That is so true, dude. Nothing is going to change except for how the city is powered. You know, it's like it's all run off solar and green energy. They're like, oh, no, my friend, we're still going to hit our wives. Oh, we're going to smack, smack, smack. But in the house, it's solar power. Everything is solar power. Of course we still hit the women, but look at the windmills. It is green energy. There we go. Experts say it's either dystopian or genius. Well, it's probably both. It's probably, you're probably going to be in that city like, man, this is a marvel. But at the same time, you're going to be like, I'm a slave. It's just, that's what this is, these smart cities are going to be, dude. It's going to be just the nicest prison ever. You know? Like, well, it's not prison. There's lobster here. There's sushi here. This isn't prison. Meanwhile, you got to, like, scan your eyeball just to, like, they know where you are at all times. And again, I guess that goes back to the cell phone. Kind of, yeah, if you have that on you, they know all that info as well. But I don't know, bro. I would say get out of cities as much as possible. That's nuts. But yeah, I think we'll leave it right there. Episode 89. Thank you for listening. Shout out to Trill Trees. Lit Co. is the shop. Tell them Sean sent you. Shout out to Nick Florio leaving a review on Apple Podcasts. I haven't checked the Spotify in a while. And yeah, man, appreciate everyone who's been leaving reviews, subscribing to the show, telling a friend.